Women's Wellness. We're having the organizational meeting, and we have rules. Rick?
Thank you, Chair. In your packet of materials are the committee rules. These are pretty much the standard rules that you've seen before and for other committees. Does anybody have the bias that I review these before you vote on them?
Sure. President Olson, we've got committee rules. These are the same, I think, as every other committee.
These are the same, Madam Chair. These are the same.
Yeah.
Actually, Madam Chair, I do have comments about the
Absolutely,
rules.
Go.
I believe on page 2, number 13, is not going to work.
Okay.
Is it consistent with our house rules?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Great.
I'm not okay, but I'm okay.
We've been saying that for a long time.
I guess we can work real hard to come to consensus, and then we won't have to worry about
it. Madam Chair, just okay. On behalf of Representative Maurer down there, I think we're going to address the issue of counseling today, aren't we? And
yes.
Is he applying for that?
Okay. The need, I'm thinking.
Oh, I see.
I'm glad to see we're all back in our
Seriously. It's good to see you all again. Thanks for coming today, and thanks for being on time, except for one.
So you're ready to
yes, okay.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules dated February 5th, 2008.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the proposed committee rules dated 2508. Is there any discussion? Seeing none? Can we just say, okay, what do I say?
All in favor say aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the motion passes and the rules are adopted. Thank you. Okay, we will open up, we close the organizational meeting, open up the public hearing on 3616.
You might want to mention that you're going to waive open 3617 in case
Okay. Okay. We're probably not going to have a hearing on 3617. Has anybody come here specifically to testify on that? Then we'll open it up and hear from you. But other than that, we have amendments coming in, so we're going to be holding over until tomorrow the hearing and the work session on 3617. Thank you. Okay, Representative Buckley. Good to see you, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Representative Peter Buckley, representing South Jackson County. And the good news I bring to you today is this very well could be the last time you see me come before you on behalf of this bill. I'm not going to even take a lot of time. This committee knows this bill. We've gone through it. We've had discussions. We've had Kristen Leonard and her office working with us to meet with people. If you continue to have questions on it, we're glad to continue working with it as we pass it through over to the Senate side, hopefully, and actually make this the law for the state of Oregon. Again, to emphasize, it's a bill that recognizes the training and the services offered by licensed family and marriage therapists and licensed professor counselors. It also puts into place a law against advertising one's services as a counselor or a therapist if one is not trained and licensed to be a counselor and a therapist. Obviously, that's best for the consumers of the state of Oregon and best for the profession as well. I greatly appreciate the patience and the time, the consideration this committee has given to this bill, and I look forward to working with you to pass it and make it law. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Buckley. Representative, I understand during the 07 session when we heard this bill, there was a fiscal. Can you talk briefly about whether or not there's a fiscal in this bill?
Madam Chair, there is not currently a fiscal with this bill. We did change part of the bill from 2007, did have the investigator position funded, which did result in the fiscal, which resulted in gains of ways and means and almost making it through there. We have removed the investigator from the bill now, so that fiscal has been removed, and we believe this has the green light and we've all the way through this committee to the floor, to the Senate committee and the Senate floor.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, Representative Buckley? Nice job.
One question.
Yes,
aww,
ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, it just sort of popped into my mind. I'm glad that the fiscal piece is out of it, but how is this going to be enforced then? Is this, I assume, complaint-driven?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, it is complaint given investigated by the board.
Thank you.
Any further questions? All right, thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you, committee members.
You're welcome. And I realize there are people from counselors and therapists who are here if we have any questions, but I know Kristen Leonard has signed up. Kristen, where did I see? There you are.
Oh, sure.
Marcus.
Okay. Chair Tillman, members of the committee, Kristen Leonard, and I'm here representing the Oregon Coalition for Consumer Mental Health Protection and Choice. And we very much appreciate one more opportunity. I have to say the good representative stole my line that this is the last time you have to look at our mug, hopefully, on this issue, but I wanted to just briefly talk to you about kind of the different elements of the bill and share how much we appreciate that you have let us talk about this in the February 08 session. We feel that this is a very important and urgent matter to the extent of consumer protection, and so we very much appreciate all your attention to this. Briefly, I'll go through kind of the different elements of the bill, and then we just wanted to make sure that we were available for any thoughts or questions. First, what I'd characterize as bullet point, House Bill 3616 prohibits using the title therapist or counselor unless licensed to do so. And so that would be licensed by any Oregon regulated licensing board. So we just want to make sure that when we're looking at protecting consumers of these services out there in the public, that those using this title have been licensed to use this title. Next bullet is really just we want to make sure to balance the playing field, if you will, as it relates to mental health services and insurance coverage for those mental health services. So what this bill really does is it says that any health benefit plan that covers other kind of similar, if you will, services, they also cover the service of mental, the licensed marriage and family therapists, and also licensed professional counselors. So we just want to, if you will, balance the playing field and make sure that these services are available to the public when they're looking for mental health provided by insurance. There's still opportunities for insurance to decide what their panels and you know, they have different options as it relates to this kind of coverage, but we feel like we really need to balance the playing field. The third piece is it also increases the fines to those as it relates to the using the title of counselor or therapist. It increases the fines. Our hope is to really kind of put some teeth into this and just once more get at the question of consumer protection. So that's the essence of the bill, and we're available for any questions.
Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah.
Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here today. Could you just say a little bit more about balance the playing field? Who are you balancing with?
Let me. Chair Tomei and Representative Gillian, what I'd like to do is kind of pull out. The problem is I have an LC draft marked up and not the bill. We'd like to cover the essence of the bill is any plan that covers the mental health services of a physician, psychologist, licensed clinical social worker, or nurse practitioner. Any plans that cover those mental health services, we would like the licensed marriage and family counselors and the licensed professional counselors covered as well. If that makes sense, that answers your question.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, in your coalition, are there currently members who are providing the kind of services you're talking about, even though they may or may not be reimbursed by insurance companies, health insurance companies?
Yes, this is Marcus Berglund. I'm president of Oregon Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And
Marcus, you need to spell out your name, please.
Sure. Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S. Berglund, B as in boy, E-R-G-L-U-N as in Nancy, D as in dog. And Oregon Association for Marriage and Family Therapy is the organization, and Catholic Community Services is where I work. Representative Gilliam, Madam Chair, to answer your question, yes, these services are being provided, especially in the community mental health realm where I am from for the last 16 years on those agency settings. In the private practice setting, I have a number of colleagues that are having to take clients out of pocket because they're not on panels or not allowed to be on panels because of their credential, even though they are trained to diagnose and treat. So yes, the services are being provided. They're just not being reimbursed by insurance companies across the board as the other four qualified mental health professionals that Kristen Leonard just mentioned.
I'm going to follow this rule and don't you? Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is VIC. There's no K at the end.
Nor dog fighting either.
I've brought this up before in this committee, and I just want to get your take on it. You know, it's my notes here in the summary on our agenda say requires. I'm concerned about mandates. I'm not concerned about the quality of care that your coalition is providing. So requires, mandates, talk a little bit about that. And I specifically am interested in, you know, you say that there are other opportunities for insurance companies to make decisions along the way, but if we require it, I'm not sure how meaningful those opportunities are.
Chair Tomei, Representative Gilliam, a couple pieces to that point, because I've heard in past conversations your concern with what some are characterizing this as really an insurance mandate. And I think right now insurance companies sort of, they have various options available to them, and currently statutorily, and I'm going to kind of read here if you don't mind, they still have treatment limitations, limits on total payments, they can pull together different panels. They have the choice as to what their panels look like and what the members of the panels are. They still have requirement. They can still have requirements as to those sorts of folks, clients that they take on, if you will, pre-existing conditions. All of those things can be part of what their package for deciding the kinds of services and to whom they're going to provide those services. So that's one piece that I feel like this is not necessarily a mandate. There's still a lot that the insurance companies have available to them as they decide the services and to whom they'll provide them. The other thing I would say is right now, as our research shows us, there's been some folks looking into the various insurance companies and those companies who provide these services, whether or not this statute is available to them. And out of 30 that we've looked at, there's only 3 that are not currently providing reimbursement for these services. So there are 27, and of those 27, some very major companies that are providing these services even without the statute in place. So it's, one of the things that we've been very cognizant of is not making this a mandate, but making this really another option, and they still have ways of, you know, doing business as usual. But we would like to balance the playing field, if you will.
Madam Chair, I have one more question. I'm sorry if you
want to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, you know, we may split hairs over requires and mandate.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your answer. But in terms of cost, and I'll take a little sidetrack here to say that Marcus and others have been very articulate about, I can't remember the old adage, but
an ounce of prevention
is worth a pound of cure.
Thank you, Representative Cowan.
Representative Cowan, I practiced that, and she just wasn't quite. And I understand that. We get that argument here a lot. And I believe that it's a good one in your case. That aside, in your opinion, will this immediately, that is after implementation, cause the cost of insurance to go up incrementally or otherwise?
Chair, to my Representative Gilliam, I'm actually going to turn this question over to Marcus, because he's done quite a bit of research into other states and what's been available and the cost.
Thank you, Kristen. Representative Gilliam, Madam Chair, the chart that I had given with references both last session as well as, I believe, at the last hearing that was gotten to you, quoted the five most recent studies where, the most recent being Maine in 2005, the bureaus of insurance in five respective states looked at this very issue, and all of them came out with the conclusions of either negligible, was the phrase, or less than 0.01%. 0.01% were the impact on premiums. So, as I've always said, what are the costs of not providing this, which you're alluding to, Representative Gilliam, the prevention piece? Pay me now or pay me later. Much better do it now when it's less. But even if that wasn't an issue, even if that wasn't an issue, the 0.01% or negligible is what the latest research shows. And if I could just clarify a little bit of what Ms. Leonard said about the mandate piece, it's misinterpreted oftentimes, oh, you're going to be covering every licensed professional counselor and every licensed marriage and family therapist in the state. That is not true. The insurance companies still have full reign, full power to say who's going to be on their panel. They just can't segregate based on credential. And the other piece about Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield as an example, over 30 states with Blue Cross Blue Shield cover MFTs and LPCs, and in our region, let's look at regionality, Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield covers four states, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Idaho. We are the only state that is not covered by Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield, and also Blue Cross Blue Shield in California covers MFTs as well. So we're way out of step. Thanks.
Madam Chair, thank you for letting me ask all those. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm saying Gillian. BIC, right? Okay, thanks. Kristen, so when we're talking about mandates, we're talking and requiring people to be on a panel, we're talking about two different things, if I understand it correctly. So was it 05 we passed the mandate requiring health insurance companies to provide mental health coverage? So that was a mandate, correct? But this just allows licensed clinical counselors and marriage and family therapists to be, when you say a panel, it's not a panel like this. It's a panel that it's sort of a pod, I think, sometimes has been used. It can be in that group of people who will be providing those mental health services. Right. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Chair Tome, yes, as it relates to a panel, is kind of those providers that are offered to the clients of that insurance company. The panel members are those particular providers who have been selected, if you will, to provide those services.
Right. So as somebody who has major Blue Cross insurance, I can still get mental health counseling from a group of providers now that Blue has gotten a little bit bigger, but I have no more rights than I had 2 years ago. Is that correct? Okay. Representative Callan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think that you've basically covered the point or the question that I was leading up to it. For me, the most important piece of this bill is the consumer protection in the advertisement. So I don't want to get too hung up on this particular question, but I guess to put it very simply, as I understand what you're saying, is that when an individual is in need of services and their insurance covers mental health services in general, that individual at this particular time might be forced to seek those services from someone with a little bit different specialty than the group that we're adding here, whereas this group might be the most appropriate source of counseling. But they would get service under their insurance coverage. The question just is how well you match the needs of the client to the services provided. And to me, that's what we're trying to do here rather than obligate an additional burden on the insurance company. Am I understanding that correctly?
Chair Tomei, Representative Cowan, yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing up, of course, the main issue is protecting the public from people who are calling themselves counselors and therapists and who are not licensed to just give themselves these titles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In follow-up to that, I guess I am just really focused as we move through this process on the urgency issue that I think qualifies something for consideration in this session, and that's what I have to look at very closely in everything that we're hearing, and that's what I see the driver in this, is that I do want to protect the public from inappropriate advertising.
Thank you, Representative. Any further questions? Anyone? Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who is here to testify on...
Oh, yeah,
that's the Earls. And is there anyone else who is here to testify on this bill? Hi.
Good morning.
By the way, I didn't mention earlier that because of the sound system, all cell phones have to be turned completely off, not just on mute, but completely off, and your blackberries and blueberries and strawberries off. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, my name is Betsy Earls, and I'm representing the Oregon Psychological Association this morning. And with me is Dr. Terry Strong, who is the legislative chair of OPA this year, to speak with you about some concerns that OPA has about 3616.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I've been involved with the Oregon Psychological Association for approximately 10 years now, including being a past president. So we've been involved in this issue for many years. OPA does have some serious concerns about the advisability of adopting House Bill 3616. We understand that there's certainly a great deal of support for this in the House, and there are some good aspects to the bill, absolutely. Based on some of the stories in the Oregonian last summer about counselors practicing without licenses or after losing their licenses, we're all concerned about that as a society and certainly as mental health professionals. But we feel that this bill, while it addresses that, is actually reaching a different end, which is to require insurance companies to pay the LPCs and LMFTs. And we feel that there really aren't the adequate resources to provide oversight for the increased number of these mental health professionals who will be providing mental health services and billing insurance for that purpose. So that really is our main issue, is oversight. So really, it's not so much, in our opinion, a policy decision of who gets to be reimbursed by insurance, but what kind of resources are there to make sure that practitioners are practicing ethically and professionally. The other issue we have is that the bill would require the insurance companies pay all LPCs, as we understand it, and not all LPCs are necessarily qualified to diagnose and treat mental disorders. Many of them are, and many of them have had the training. I personally taught in master's programs in two universities in the state of Oregon, so I'm very familiar with the training standards that these people get, and they get good basic training. Some of them go on to get more experience in diagnosing and treating mental disorders, and some do not. And so, Mike, our concern, one of our concerns is that there's a wide variation in the training of folks who have this licensure, and we just want to make sure that the people who would be providing diagnosis and treatment would be qualified to do so. So basically, a primary concern really is patient safety, as is true for any of us working in the mental health field. It really raises a question of how the LPC board would be dealing with folks who maybe were not practicing in an ethical way. And the previous legislation last year actually had a provision for financial resources to provide investigators, and this bill does not. And that is a big concern for us and all of the other mental health professionals who currently receive reimbursement for insurance do have boards that are adequately funded to do this investigative piece. So another issue we have is the issue of scope of practice, and the Oregon legislature really never did define the scope of practice of LFTs and LPCs. They have a title act, not a practice act, as I'm sure you know, and so really it meant that the legislature let it be up to the licensing board to decide the scope of practice for their licensees. All the other mental health professionals who currently have reimbursement from insurance have practice acts, and so that is a concern we have as well. So again, our goal is to ensure that the highest quality of mental health services are provided and that people have access to those mental health services, and we just want to make sure that the safety of the public is guaranteed to the degree we can.
Thank you. Any questions? These two witnesses.
Thank you.
Anyone else here who wishes to testify on this bill?
All right.
Okay, so I'm gabbling out of the public hearing on 3616 and gabbling in for the work session on
public hearing on 3617. You want to pass this bill?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't worried about it. That's fine. I don't.
Okay, I'm opening up a work session on 3616.
Madam Chair, I would move. It's been a while.
I know it.
Madam Chair, I would. Let me start over. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move we forward House Bill 3616 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves that we move House Bill 3616 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Cotet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to put on the record that I think some of the concerns about consumer protection that we're trying to fix with this bill and that are raised by the Oregon Psychological Association are things that I think the House Healthcare Committee and looking at the licensing boards will continue to look at in the interim, because it's an issue for all the boards in terms of protecting patient safety. So I just wanted to say that we're going to continue to look at that. I don't think this bill should be held up for that reason, but it's something we need to continue to look at in the interim.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Gillen, VIC.
VIC. You're the one that always puts the K on the end. Madam Chair, thank you. There's not a lot of news here, but I did want to go on record again as saying that I appreciate very much the testimony we've received, both in the previous session and this one. There is one representative, at least, that I would never doubt his motives, and that's Representative Buckley. So I appreciate him bringing this forward. Having said that, I'm back to my harangue. I think that what is negligible, and I believe it probably is, to one group, mounts up. And I am concerned that this body continues to sort of have a shotgun approach at healthcare, so that we over here, in attempting to address one thing, add a little more to the cost, because eventually it's going to get passed on to the consumer. We add a little more to the cost of healthcare without ever having an overarching sort of policy. Representative Maurer and Representative Greenlick and others are working hard on that in the Health Committee, but still we see these issues. So at what point does negligible become a legitimate cost that we pass on to the insurance companies by mandate that they pass on to individuals? And I think this is one of those. The consumer protection piece is very important. Glad that's been addressed. I am a little concerned about the oversight and, again, the cost of a board. So I'm going to be voting no. And lastly, I have to again say that from my perspective, as important as this is, I'm surprised that it's a bill that we would take up in this special session in this committee, given so many other things that I think are far more important on the priority list. So I'll be a no.
President Gilliam, I'm going to respond a little bit. I know you have an opinion about this being potentially a more expense that will be passed on to health insurers. But as for this being an emergency, I think it is. And, of course, I'll be voting yes on this bill. But I think the fact that it was hitting the front page of the state newspaper that people were being harmed by folks who would put up their shingle saying that they're a therapist or a counselor. To me, this is a consumer protection act. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm very supportive of this. But I can appreciate what you're saying. Any other, anything else? Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got several points. I think, first off, that we would not be addressing this issue in February if it were not for the Oregonian article. This was vetted in last session. It was voted out of committee, voted out of the House, and died in the Senate for some other reasons. And so I'm not sure about the emergency aspect of it. I'm still supportive of the bill. I voted for it before, and I will vote for it again. But I think there's a couple things that we lose sight of. And one of them is that we tend to focus on the little stuff, the little costs. And this gets back to the role of primary care, and in this case, mental health falls into that realm, is that we fight and scrap over spending a penny when Medicare will reimburse for procedures that are vastly more expensive and have no evidence that they will be effective. And the biggest thing today is nuclear proton accelerating radiation therapy, where the facility costs $100 to $140 million a pop. And the treatment is $50,000 a person, and Medicare reimburses it. I mean, that's the big stuff that we need to be talking about, not about whether we're going to reimburse for LMFTs and LPCs. I think that, you know, it's nickels and dimes versus real dollars. And the other comment I'm going to make is that Dr. Strong talked about the limited amount of resources that we have available. And if we had a true medical market system, that supply and demand would really drive the cost. And the assumption is that the insurance companies have no ability to contract and negotiate with a panel of providers, when in fact they do have that ability to negotiate. If you increase the supply of providers, it stands to reason, if you have a market system, that you are going to negotiate a lower rate with the panel of providers if there's a greater supply of them and the demand doesn't meet the supply. I mean, this is about the market. And so I think that the Americans, you know, the psychologists in general would say that you're increasing the supply of providers, therefore, theoretically, it's going to lower my cost. My argument to them would say, well, no, you're more highly skilled. You provide a different set of clinical expertise, and so you're not really going to drive down your value, but it still increases the access to everybody in the state. And in rural communities, these LPCs and LMFTs are extremely important. And I can't speak to the urban areas as much, but in the rural areas, these may be the only people that we have access to. And so, although we can argue the mandate, and I really struggle with how we define what a mandate is, but I also believe that this is not about a mandate. This is should be about a market. And if we allow the market to work and we don't allow it to work, that these things would not be issues. So, and I also agree with Representative Kotek about the scope of practice and that's being addressed in another forum, and I hope we do address it. Anyway, I am supportive. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Maurer. Any further discussion? All right. Would you, clerk, call the roll, please? We have a new clerk, so we're going to be very, very patient.
Representative Cowell.
Aye.
Representative
Gelfer.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
No.
Representative Kotek.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the Congressional majority, House Bill 3616 passes. This may be the first bill that passes in the 08 legislative session. Hooray. Yes, anyone to say something?
Carrier.
Pardon?
You're a carrier.
Oh, carrier. Representative Olson will carry the bill. Thank you, Representative Olson. Terrific. Are we through here? So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3616. Committee, thank you for hard work. We did a lot of work during the interim. I know you did a lot of work on your own. A lot of thought put into this. Thank you so much. This is great.
You want to carry it instead?
Do I want to carry it? No, I'll let you.
You're so eloquent in what you just said.
No, I'll.
Yes, it was very good.
Agreement?
I would expect Representative Gilliam.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do it. I'll carry it.
That's Victor Ida Charles.
Victor. Okay. Are we okay? All right. I'm going to open up a public hearing on 3617. Colleagues, we're hoping not to have a public hearing on this because we have amendments coming, and I've opened it because I know that Wilbur is here to speak, but we've got amendments coming that will change the bill. So are the rest of the people here to speak on this bill? And if so, would you be willing to wait until tomorrow when we get the amendments back? Is that what your wish is, Representative Gelfer?
That is what my wish is, and I'd be happy to. They've just been handed to me this very moment, so I have not yet read them, but they will be available within an hour and a half, and I think they will address many of the concerns, including growers, and I'd be happy to hit the high points of what they're supposed to do quickly, if that would be helpful.
Is it appropriate for me to ask the audience? I'm just going, is there anybody, what am I going to say, who absolutely feels very strongly that they need to speak today, or can you wait until tomorrow for the public hearing? Anybody wants to put up a hand that feels like they need to speak today?
About this?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Representative Gelfer.
Yes, thank you. And I know that many of you, we've been communicating by telephone and email. As I said, I have not read these, but what they are supposed to do is clarify and make very clear that this applies only to adult developmental disability, foster care and group homes, not to children's mental health or other mental health or other adult foster homes, as it relates to the database and immediate notification requirements. It does have some change in the language around the Quality Care Fund and what those can be used for with more specificity as asked for by industry. It does take away from the department the authority by rule to set licensing fees as requested by the industry. We've got a level that we will put in there. It does have a mechanism for names to be removed from the database, changes the name of the database from a database of caregiver abuse to a database of quality care violations, and it has a variety of other fixes that are largely in response to many of the discussions that we've had over the last several days. And I look forward to talking to a lot of people throughout the course of the day and getting these amendments to you as soon as I've read them.
Great. So So is anyone opposed to me closing the work session or the hearing? Anyone in the audience? Okay, great. I'm closing the hearing on House Bill 3617. Is there anything else in the good of the order? The shortest meeting in history.
Close the key to this.
Close the House Committee on Human Services and Women's Loans. Oh, by the way, colleagues.